The experience with God and of God in our lives is how we create a picture of who God is and what God means to each one of us. It's a work in progress, right? It's a work that never ends. Because we experience God in so many ways, daily, weekly, monthly, every moment. It's not just an event. It's a series of encounters throughout our lives. It's a journey. And that's why we call it the journey of faith, right? And we've been talking in the past few weeks about how awesome our God is and how important it is to praise God in whatever circumstances that we live. And not only that, but to be looking out for God's revelation to us, to discover ourselves in His light. I don't know about you, but I spend most of my life trying to figure this out. Trying to figure myself, trying to figure who I am, trying to figure who this God is. And the moment that I think that I got it, right? The moment that I think that I have grasped it, it's like something else happens, right? There's another twist in our lives that's sort of trying to make us uncomfortable, but also to show us another side of who God is. Another twist, another experience. And all those really forced me to reconsider, to take another look, to go to the Word and see who is this God and how am I created? What's my purpose in life? Now, some of us have our experience, our identity embedded in something about our experiences in life. Some of us is the military, for example, or our academic experience, or our sports experience, or our family experience, or the relationships that we build along the way. And then a change. Now, change challenges us. It challenges us and it challenges who we are, the understanding of who we are. Our identity is challenged when something happens. No wonder we don't like to experience change. We'd rather just coast, right? Think of a change of jobs, right? The adjustment of having to be in a new context, trying to figure out your way in this new place. Think of empty nesters. Some of us here. Losing someone that we love. Moving, changing a career. I mean, all these changes are tests. They test our identity. They trouble us. Because we have to sort of rediscover who we are in the new context. And they can make us sad, and they can make us mad, right? Because the discomfort gets to the deepest of our bones. It can also make us reflect. It can make us reconsider our priorities in life, and it can make us change our view of the world. Now, this psalm is one of those pieces of literature that really challenges us to reflect upon our identity in a different light. It's not challenging us to consider our identity with the changes of life and what's going on here, but our identity in the light of God. The author basically is writing a hymn in which he contemplates the God that created him. And I say him because this psalm is attributed to David. It could have been anyone. Now, with the beginning statement alone, the psalmist describes a God who is active, a God that is aware, a God that is involved, and a God that is concerned. You have searched me and known me. I mean, just those words are a declaration from an individual who's looking at God and saying, God, you are still involved. You are still concerned about my well-being. You're still involved in my life, even after all these years. If you've ever been in the places like the ones I mentioned before, where changes challenge you, remember that statement. And this one that follows on verse 5. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. It's not only that God is searching out who we are, is not only investigating our lives to point out where we fail, is that God is also protecting us. Let me put it this way. God is not only present in our lives. God is active, searching within and knowing and protecting each one of us. And I don't know about you, but when changes in life happen and things are rattling our cages, there's a lot of anxiety that builds up, right? And maybe we can lay all our anxiety at the feet of the one who searches us and who knows us, and who is involved in our lives. Now, check this out. The psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. It's like the psalmist is sort of working through a comparative exercise. It's saying, God, you are this and I am this. And man, I can't handle it. It's way too much. To even think that you know everything about my life is too much to handle. The beautiful part of the psalm, I'm just going to read this for you. Just check this out. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together. Did you hear that? All knitters. You knit me together. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depth of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. Before there were sonograms, there was God. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. I mean, verse 13 alone picks up on the acknowledgement that God is creator, and as such is worthy of our praise. It's sort of a hark back to the topic we were handling a couple of weeks ago, right? God is worthy of being praised. And the psalmist is like basically holding a mirror to everything that is inside of him and saying, you built this. You did it. Any of you know Chuck Swindoll? Chuck Swindoll is one of the preachers that have been active, I think, for 100 years or so. I mean, he's been, I don't know. I liked his style of preaching because he really makes you think about and connect with Scripture in a very intricate way. I was present in a preaching conference in 1998, and he was talking about this psalm, and he said that he envisioned a girl who was 6'10 reading this psalm. I don't know if you can relate, but any one of us who is way different, right, than another, may have some issues with who we are and why. So he says, you know, I wonder how a girl who's this tall reads the psalm. God made that girl. And of course, when I think about that, I think of my dad, right? And how would my dad read the psalm? My dad says that he has a perfect body, but he's short, right? I mean, how does a person that looks at himself and says, you know, I wish... Because he wanted to be a heavyweight fighter, okay? You can't do that when you're 150, right? When you weigh 150 pounds, you can't. So there is something that he wished he could have, but wasn't there. Now, are you following what I'm saying now? Then, you know, I look at my uncle. My uncle was a midget. He passed away when he was 34 years old. He was a midget, but my uncle was a mechanic. And he drove an 18-wheeler. Now think about this. This is the time for big V8s, you know, 350s. You know, sometimes I would arrive to the house and there were my uncle's feet just hanging off and his head was in the car trying to do something out there. I said, man, this guy's crazy. He used to say, hey, hold on to my feet. Hang on to me. You know, so you can pull me out. I mean, isn't that something, you know, about our self-image, how we see ourselves and our identity, and how we are always struggling with what that is? Now, this is what Chuck suggests. He says, take your time as you meditate on what you're reading, you know, talking about reading this passage, and place and pay close attention to several things. How God really, literally created your inner organs, how God knit you together during those 9 months, how remarkably he made you into the person you are, how he shaped your bones, your frame, in your prenatal stay, and how skillfully and well he superintended your formation. How he personally determined the days of your life. And as I thought about that, I of course, you guys know Isabel, right? I immediately went to her. When Isabel was born, they told us, you know, your daughter has this condition in her brain, and she's not going to last 5 years. She's 20, going on 21. Right? He has determined the days of your life. Not the doctors, but God. And I'm going to finish with this in the next 25 minutes. I mean, this part alone is another sermon, but I just have to. And this is, I mean, Chuck is talking about this psalm, and I sort of appreciate what he's doing here. He said, God gave us our own emotional makeup, our particular mental abilities, our artistic talents, our athletic coordination. Everything about us is unique, even our digestive system. When we come to realize that God was and still is intimately acquainted with everything about us, we begin to take our health, and especially the way that we treat our bodies, far more seriously. I mean, there is an element of respect, of honoring, that comes into play when we realize that God is still involved in everything about our lives. You get that? When we realize that it is God that make you quirky. You're talking about a 14-year-old, right? Rebelling and trying to go through this period of time. I mean, I remember still going through those times and Your brain is being rewired. You're trying to figure all these things out around you. And sometimes you're mad because you're not what you want to be at the moment. I wish truly that I was a great speaker. But I'm in two languages. I don't know which one is which most of the time. See, besides the sense of ourselves that we may gather, And how we may honor God by understanding that we are His. And how God is involved in this wonderful creation. And how still He's still participating in us. How do we use every bit of who we are for His glory? Last week, we remember we were talking about Jesus and Jesus' own epiphany when he discovered, I guess he was revealed that God was pleased with him. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that next week. But maybe we need to go and see who this God really is and how he has revealed himself to us. And what does that mean for each one of us in our daily lives? How can I, with all the quirkiness that is built into this, with all the defects and the things that I don't have, can honor God? What did Jesus do with that revelation that he received? And of course, that question still stands about us. What do we do with the revelation that we have received? About who we are and about whose we are. What does it mean for us when we encounter changes and challenges in our lives? How do we face them? And with whom can we count to work through them? And again, despite everything that may be happening in our lives, how do we serve? How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. And I'm still with you. Emmanuel, God with us. Is still with us. Let's pray. Father, I think that as we contemplate the words as the psalmist is expressing back to you, as he looks at this mirror of himself and looks through your eyes and contemplates the grandeur of you as creator of everything that we are and how you meticulously defined us so that we would discover ourselves in our journey. Not only that you placed us in this place in time. When we think about that, it's just way, way too high. But you have done that. And here we are. Help us as we hear a different understanding of who we are in your eyes. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.